Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First, in temperatures of minus 2 and below, around 170,000 public sector workers are striking over pay today north of the border. Teachers, nurses, bus and train drivers are just some of those from 16 unions on the picket line today. It's the largest ever strike in Northern Ireland's history. In snowy and icy conditions, the roads haven't been gritted. People have been warned to only make necessary journeys as driving conditions are treacherous. And in a moment, I'll speak to some of those striking. But first, I'm joined on the line by Mark Simpson, BBC News correspondent in Belfast. Good morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Claire.
I know you're outside Belfast City Hall this morning. Now, despite those sub-zero temperatures I was speaking about, there are still large numbers picketing there today.
Yes, a big rally is being planned here for mid-morning. I'm right outside the City Hall near Royal Avenue for anyone who knows Belfast City Centre. I'm looking around. I'm seeing some strikers, I'm seeing picket lines, and they're gathering for a mass rally, as I say, mid-morning. What I'm not seeing, Claire, is any gritting lorries. I'm not seeing any public transport, no buses, no trains. If I went about a mile away to the Royal Victoria Hospital, I would only see a skeleton service there. Maybe that's not appropriate. More like a Christmas Day type service, whereby resources are stretched to the limit, emergencies only. And I'm seeing quite a few school children around Belfast City Centre. The shops are open, but most of the schools aren't.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll be talking, as I said, to some of those who have decided to take strike action in just a moment. But in the main, they see that the money is there to solve this. It's just a question of Chris Heaton-Harris, the Northern Ireland Secretary, releasing it.
Yes, that is their point. He has said there is more than £600 million sterling earmarked for public sector workers. That may not solve this dispute overnight, but it would certainly help. But he wants the Stormont executive back first. And as we all know, there's no sign of it coming back anytime soon. I suppose the key question for Chris Heaton-Harris, the Northern Ireland Secretary, is for after today. He sees this disruption, and I dare say those trade union leaders, Claire, will tell you that this is the start of something, not the end of something. Whether he will budge once he sees the disruption here right across Northern Ireland, all six counties today.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you're not seeing the gritting trucks out, and that was one of the big concerns around today. People were being told not to take to the roads, Mark, unless they absolutely needed to. Are there grave concerns now about the impact of this?
Huge concerns, especially in rural areas. But the one bit of good news is that the sun has come out, as you say, and I think it's across the island, there were sub-zero temperatures last night. I know in terms of Northern Ireland anyway, it was the coldest night of the year. It is warming up. There's no ice on the roads as far as I can see. The problem is you're going to have thousands of people actually on those roads getting to rallies and getting to picket lines today.
Mm-hmm. Given that there are so many out on those picket lines today, what is the level of public support for the strike?
I think overall it's high, but people are conflicted. People who maybe had a hospital appointment today that's been cancelled, maybe a chemotherapy session, dialysis session, which has been cancelled. And they're maybe asking the question, was there another way? A lot of parents suddenly having to find childcare. But all the evidence certainly anecdotally suggests that the public are behind the strike. And I suppose one of the main reasons for that is many of the public are the strikers. As you say, 170,000 people on strike today. That's a significant proportion of the population here.
Mark, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us. Mark Simpson there, BBC News correspondent. Well, we're also joined from the picket lines outside Belfast Royal Victoria Hospital by clinical specialist physiotherapist Catherine Elliman. Catherine, thank you for speaking to us today. Will you explain to our listeners why you're striking?
We're striking because currently at the minute we're underpaid and we're the lowest paid healthcare workers in the whole of the UK. And we know that the money is there. And it's just getting the will and someone to make a move on it so that we can get a pay award that we deserve.
How frustrated are you with the situation?
We're very frustrated because our healthcare workers work extremely hard, the same as everybody within the whole of the UK and across the border. in Ireland. But at the end of the day, we deserve a fair pay award that's going to keep us in line with everybody else and allow us currently in the climate of increasing cost of living, allow us to just function and live.
Catherine, I know you've been working at the Royal since the late 1980s, so you've seen a lot, but how does the staffing challenge you're facing now compare with what you've seen in the past through the Troubles, the financial crisis and austerity?
I think now we've got bigger challenges in the health service because we have an ageing population. We have a population with a lot of coexisting conditions, the long-term conditions. We have people who survive traumas and illness that they maybe previously wouldn't have. So the challenges are there, the demands there, but the staffing isn't there to meet those demands.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Mark Simpson there about the situation with the roads, and of course many of the people who are joining you on the picket lines around Northern Ireland will have to travel despite being advised not to. Are you and your colleagues concerned about people using the roads?
Well, we have staff here travelling. We have staff who work in the Royal who come from Armagh. They travel a long distance every day, and they're willing to come today, and they're on the picket line and they're here with their children, mm-hmm. and they're willing to do that because they want to express their dismay and they want to express their dissatisfaction with the current situation.
As we've been chatting over the last couple of minutes, I've been hearing the horns tooting, that people supporting you driving past. Is that what's happening?
Oh, absolutely, yes. There's a good turnout and anybody that's coming past is supporting us, yes.
Who do you blame for this situation, Catherine?
I don't really afford a blame. I think we're just being used, as I say, as a political pawn in the middle of the situation that we're in. And I just think that somebody needs to make a decision, act and listen to what we're saying and afford us the pay award that we deserve.
All right. Well, Catherine, thank you for speaking to us from there this morning. That's Catherine Elliman. And let's go to Derry now and Altnagelvin Hospital, where Laura McClintock, clinical nurse specialist in palliative care, is on the picket line with her colleagues. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
So tell us why you are standing outside today on the picket line.
First and foremost, I stand on the picket line today with my colleagues in the interest of patient safety. We have seen the erosion of our health service now over many years, and we believe that we are now at a crucial point where our health service is collapsing before our eyes, and ultimately the patients are the people that are suffering the most mm-hmm. due to this.
Because the whole way through COVID, we kept in very close contact with your colleagues there in Northern Ireland, and we wanted to compare their experiences of it with ours. And it was a really desperate time, as it was here. For you, how does what you're seeing now compare with then?
I would actually say, well, obviously it's a different scenario. However, it's no better. What I see now on a daily basis is vulnerable patients spending extended periods of time in emergency departments. This would have made crisis headlines many years ago. This has now become the norm. Patients aren't safe in our current system. We need urgent intervention and funding in order to deliver our services safely. Mm-hmm. And we also need our staff to be paid fairly in order to retain our staff to be able to deliver that safe service.
So you link that overcrowding with pay?
It's a complex situation, but these issues cannot be dealt with in isolation. You know, each issue is inextricably linked. And without fair pay, you don't have enough staff. You can't retain your staff. You haven't got the skill mix that you need in order to deliver a safe service. Mm-hmm. Overcrowding is another issue, but ultimately, it all leads back to one place. And what we have today is an unstable government that is unwilling to intervene and stop this crisis.
And who do you blame for it getting to this point?
Well, it's no secret in Northern Ireland which political party are holding Northern Ireland to ransom, and that is the DUP. There's a lot of talk, obviously, about the Secretary of State as well, and you know the mechanisms that could be put in place to solve this crisis. However, we do acknowledge it's a complex situation, but at the end of the day, the people that were elected to represent Northern Ireland, including our patients, are letting us down. They're not working. They're not doing the job they were elected to do. And as a result, we're in a major crisis.
Because the unions did try to convince Chris Heaton-Harris to de-link Stormont getting back up and running and this pay issue. Now, they weren't successful in doing that, but he does have the power to release that money and not to link it to Stormont coming back.
Absolutely, and I think everybody's aware of that. And as a result, nurses are in a position where they're being used as political pawns, which is completely and utterly unreasonable. We are nurses. We want to be able to do our jobs, and we don't have the power to change the situation. The power lies solely with those elected in government, and everybody knows that. It's totally unfair, the position that we're in.
Laura, thanks for talking to us. Laura McClintock there, who's a nurse at Alt na Gelvin Hospital in Derry, speaking to us from the picket line. Well, Mark McTaggart is the Irish National Teachers Organisation's Northern Secretary, and he joins me on the line now. Good morning, Mark. Will you tell us how many teachers from your organisation, from the INTO, are on strike today?
Well, we have 7,200 members across the north, and we have asked every single one of our members to come out and strike today. Mm.
This is the third day now that teachers have been on strike in recent times. It's the first day we've had so many across the public service. But for the teachers, this has happened in the recent past. How committed would you say all the teaching unions are to this all-out action?
Well, all five teaching unions, for the first time in my memory, are working together through this action. The five main teacher unions are on strike today. Of those unions, for the first time these strikes, two of the unions have come out and strike for the first time. So there is a real feeling amongst teachers and amongst the teachers' unions that it's time something was done. They feel totally undervalued. We've been waiting, unlike other public sector workers, for 3 years for an increase in pay. Teachers' pay has been reduced in real terms by 25% since 2010. So you can understand why teachers are feeling that they are being undervalued by those who hold the purse strings.
Will you tell us in broad terms how teachers' pay in Northern Ireland compares to other parts of the UK?
Well, teachers in the north are the least well paid across these islands. If you look at the starting salary for a teacher in the north, a starting salary for a teacher in the north is £24,137. The same teacher doing exactly the same job could go to England and have a starting salary of £30,000, which is about 24% more than a teacher here. Mm-hmm. For Wales, it's about £30,742, which is about 27%. And if you go to Scotland, it's £32,217, which is about a third more in terms of pay. Looking at the Republic of Ireland, a starting salary for a teacher in the Republic of Ireland is €41,385. The equivalent salary for a teacher in the north is about €28,106.
Right.
So that you can see that we are the least well paid, and you can understand the frustration of our members.
So what's happening then? Graduates are getting their qualifications and leaving.
Well, we are facing into a crisis of recruitment and retention. Young teachers are coming out of colleges, and there is an issue now that the colleges aren't filling their quotas because young people are going in with high level qualifications and feeling that the teaching isn't going to repay them properly. So they're coming out with loans of £40,000, which have to be paid back to the least salary. So young teachers, I mean, it's very easy for now for a young teacher. It used to be we were concerned about teachers going off to Australia and Dubai and the Middle East and things like that. Now you all have to just jump on a ferry and they can be in Scotland, they can come home at weekends. The issues aren't the same even for leaving. So it would be very easy for a young teacher to pick up a job in Scotland. And what we're finding now is schools in Scotland and England and Wales are coming over here to recruit teachers as they come out of college.
And when I was talking to Catherine earlier, who's outside the Royal Hospital in Belfast, she said she feels as though nurses are being used and physiotherapists are being used as a political pawn in all of this. Do teachers feel the same way? Do you feel the same way?
Yes, teachers feel exactly. It's not only the teachers themselves who are being used as political pawns. The young people who the teachers teach are being used as political pawns as well. When you look at the cuts that were made to funding for education in the last year by Christopher Hayden Harris. You know, they were all directed at the children from the least well-off families. We too feel that not only our teachers, the other public sector workers and the communities themselves are being sacrificed in reality for political expediency, because Hayden Harris wants the Secretary of State wants the DUP back into the Assembly.
But you blame him, not the DUP, is that what you're saying?
No, I would blame both. I mean, I think, you know, Geoffrey Donaldson has always talked about the sea border and not having a sea border, but he's quite happy to have a sea border in terms of public sector pay.
Mark, thank you very much. Mark McTaggart there from the INTO and he's Northern Secretary with that organisation. And thank you to all of my guests in Northern Ireland, 170,000 people picketing today.